from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about a lot of good stuff today. We are going to continue this conversation for just a second about, you know, the future of Naylor and where the Guardians are right now, especially when you look at the way MLB.com just looked at our farm system. And it was like, hey, they're the number 4 farm system in Major League Baseball, and you've got some pretty good first basemen that are sitting there waiting. So, you know, what happens to Josh Naylor, and, you know, what might his future be, knowing that he's a free agent at the end of next season? And
he's arbitration eligible at the end of this year.
So, and we know they don't like
again,
to do arbitration.
And it's his final year of arbitration.
So he's ARB 3, is that what he is at the end of the season?
It'll be ARB 4.
ARB 4, okay. So,
Season, you know, I mean, they could keep him through arbitration, you know, and they could sign a 1-year deal for next year. He doesn't have a contract for next year, but he obviously can't leave.
I also wanted to hear from the mayor of Brook Park, who was on with the morning show. So we're going to play some of that coming up in this hour. Also, if anything happens out in Berea or there's any big press conferences out in Berea, we will take those live. I want to take a couple phone calls, though, just to get us going this hour. Chris is in Medina. He's been waiting patiently. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm well, fellas. How are you?
Hi, Chris. Hanging in.
Good. I think one of the biggest mistakes that we could make is falling into the trap of overvaluing our own farm system. So often, more than not, you hear about these double-A prospects. They go to triple-A. They have success. But going from triple-A to the majors is a much bigger jump than going from double-A to triple-A. We've got a proven power hitter in Naylor. I think we got to hold on to him as long as we can. If he wants to be a free agent and he decides to leave, that's on him. But we've got to make a realistic offer and try and keep him.
I'm with you, Chris.
Yep, I agree
completely. See it too, and I agree with that. I find it fascinating, and I think I kind of said this last hour, that, you know, when MLB.com, it's people outside of the organization that are valuing your minor league system for more than maybe, you know, we sit around. I agree with that. Like, I think the Guardians / Indians have kind of always overvalued what they've had in the minor leagues. But
or at least, how about this? At least publicly.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing.
Well, that's
because, I mean, that's, you're selling it, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're selling it to other teams. You're selling it, you know, within the organization itself. You want to portray that perception that you're churning out good young talent. And I think they've done a nice job of that over the years. But I don't mind, you know, pumping it up with the idea of maybe it entices other teams, you know, to trade for it.
Mm. Glenn is in North Randall. Hi, Glenn.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Hello, how are you?
I love the topics you guys are talking about today because it puts the Browns on the back burner until the Dallas game beginning of the season.
Or until 11.
Until another hour.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Anyway, I believe that with them signing Jose Ramirez last year? I don't know.
It's been a couple of years.
Yeah, okay. So I believe that has set the salary structure for this franchise for the next 5 years, whereas he's the franchise player. Everybody falls in line out below him. Andrés Giménez signed a long-term deal, you know, also. So you really want it. You would like to keep the infield together, but if Josh Naylor prices himself out, he just prices himself out, you know, with his talent. And, you know, I would love to keep him in both together because I think that the chemistry on this team is awesome. But I trust our front office.
They've got a couple of guys, if we're talking about Naylor specifically here, Glenn. You know, we've heard about Manzardo since the trade with Savali. He didn't have a great debut here. Doesn't mean he still can't, you know, become a big league player. But he's 24 and in AAA right now. Velasquez is a young guy who has moved up through the organization. He's in high A ball now. How many years away might he be? Two, three? So, you know, there's a little time frame there. Noel can play a little first base, and we've seen him there this year. So, you know, all that aside.
They've got to keep him in the lineup for sure, though.
Well, don't you think so? I mean, just, yep. You know, he's got to play 3 out of 4 games, I would think. But I think the organization maybe is kind of changing just the structure of some things, because there are so many position players now who are highly ranked in the organization, and it always used to seem that it was pitching they were churning out like crazy.
Yeah, this is very promising, and I like the odds this year. This might be the year of dreams that I've been waiting 5 decades for, because I just love the chemistry. I love just watching them.
Fun team to root for, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They're young, yep. And they're getting better.
Yep, I agree, Glenn.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you very much. Glenn in North Randall checking in. All right, so I want to kind of, I know he said, it's nice to talk about the Guardians and not the Browns, but...
What are you going
to
do, Andy?
Well, let's talk about the Browns for a second.
There you go.
So the mayor of Brook Park, Ed Orcutt, right? That's what it is, Ed Orcutt, was on with the morning show today. And Dan, what do we have from that interview? I didn't have a chance to hear it on the way in, so I'm just kind of curious. Did he have any epiphany? Did he let the county... the head of the county commissioner, Chris Ronan, know that Brook Park is still in Cuyahoga County? Did he get the memo on that?
Well, he has spoke to the county from what he was saying here. And again, this is courtesy of the morning show.
It seems to me, Brook Park residents' taxes go to Cuyahoga County.
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
That's pretty stunning, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, I was
weird. Way to go out on a limb there, pal.
Weird how that worked. Because I had to go look at the map for a second after I read.
I'll be danged. How about that?
After I read what the county put out, I'm like, wait a second. Isn't Brook Park in...
Did it get annexed to Medina County?
I'm not quite sure. What's going on? And then you had to ask yourself, isn't Brook Park two words instead of one? Isn't that... That's another big fiasco, I think, that people are... It is actually two words. But go ahead. What did the mayor of the great city of Brook Park have to say?
Well, we brought up the county in the beginning, and this is what he had to say when it talks with the county.
We've had discussions with the county. Obviously, they have their obligations, and they have their necessary things that they have to do as well. We understand that. We would like to have a little bit more discussion with them. Obviously, if it's something that they can't afford at where some of the preliminary numbers are at, then I'd like to at least have the opportunity to talk to them to see, you know, what could happen. What could we do?
Okay, so basically I just figured out that the county never talked to Brook Park about things before they put their press release out. Yet I still think, I'm just checking, Jeff, double check me, pull out a map, Brook Park is in Cuyahoga County. Yes? All four people agree. Yes, it still is.
Bingo.
Just want to make sure.
Bingo.
Not a good look for the county when that thing came out the other day. I just want to say, as I sat in my basement and read this and said, what? The county's regional government. It's not okay. Anyway, so what else did the mayor of Brook Park have to say?
Well, the big thing that came out of it was the idea of a land swap. That has been thrown out once again, where the city of Cleveland would get the land that, yes?
No, this would essentially be swapping land that they've already swapped out once with the city.
Correct.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we're on the record.
Yeah, so basically it would be just a, you know, remember that time when we shook hands and I crossed my fingers to say no trade backs? Well, I was kidding. I really didn't have my fingers crossed.
So it would be like the Detroit Tigers back in the day after a couple of years saying, hey, we know Doyle Alexander is shot, but Atlanta here, you take him back and we'll bring John Smoltz back. Is that what that's like?
Yeah, sort of.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to bring it to sports.
I'm glad that you brought that back to sports in a relative timeline that I think some people might still remember. So that's
bravo
to you.
Well, you're talking about things that maybe didn't go real well.
So anyway, did someone call no trade backs? Ed Orcutt had this to say.
That's the first I'm ever hearing of that. That's never been an opportunity for any of this. Initially, I would just say no. That's not something that we're looking to do right now. The project that we're looking at is pretty simple. To put a stadium right next to a highway system in Brook Park that is very, very easy to get to. And we're the type of town that, yes, we're open-minded. We'll sit down with people. But at the same token, you know, economic development has to happen. We have to continue to move. This is land that's sat vacant since 2012. We haven't had any, you know, progress with it. if we happen to have this deal go through, then we still have a few more years to build out and kick off in 2029. We're looking to utilize this land to produce revenue for us. And to initially, just to think about a land swap, I don't think that would be something that we would be interested in, but we would certainly sit down and listen.
Sit down and listen. See, now that's the way you're supposed to say some things.
Think about the tax sellers.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Think about the tax sellers that city lost when Ford had to shut down most of the plant.
Yep.
But no one's talking about that. And no one talks about the revitalization of an inner ring suburb that lost a major player. Like, I drive by it all the time.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, you know what else was a big deal? Like, I think about right off of 82 there, where Chrysler used to be. In Twinsburg, that's right. What it was, right?
Yeah, so, which is now a big Amazon facility, right?
No, it's like multiple. It's FedEx.
It's
Dunkin'
Donuts.
It's a
huge transportation.
It's whatever it was forward thinking for a community that lost a major player. Well, now, did it bring in the same tax dollars as what Chrysler did in the past? Probably not. But at least they rethought things and reimagined what things could be with all that land right there. And so now Brook Park finds themselves in that same... Think about all the money those guys lost in Brook Park, in the city of Brook Park, when Ford had to pull out all the engine stuff out of there.
You know, it's funny. I didn't hear Cleveland City Council asking about a land swap on that part when Ford left.
No.
And if you're the mayor of Brook Park, it's like, I'm sorry. Now somebody's bought that land that's really been rough for us since Ford closed up, and they happen to be billionaires. And they're talking about a $3.4 billion development or whatever it is. No, we're good. Thanks. Seriously, Andy, these guys went down to the convenience store and bought a lottery ticket, and this one hit.
Yeah.
That's what this is. After having something there that was a big, big revenue generator and hasn't been, obviously, since they shut her down.
I'm also kind of confused, too, as I look at all the outrage that I see on social media, especially. Why is there no outrage about the Greyhound station moving out to Brook Park? What? Oh, did anyone miss that over the last couple of days?
A little bit of a different
thing.
There's
an RTA. Isn't it significant that Greyhound is leaving the city of Cleveland proper to go out to Brook Park? I mean, I thought Brook Park was Baltimore. Oh, it isn't? Okay, sorry. What else did the great mayor of Brook Park have to say?
Well, so we've had a lot of fun on behalf of the county, but we know that there's three different ways that this is kind of made up. It's the county, it's the city of Cleveland that's involved as well, and then also the state. So Ed Orcutt was asked, hey, have you talked to the state?
There's been discussions. You know, I'm very careful with what I mention as we do business behind closed doors. I'm not going to share all that information at this point. Have I talked to the governor about this? Absolutely.
You're trying to tell me the governor of the state of Ohio has time to talk to the mayor of Brook Park, but the head of the county didn't prior to putting out a press release? You got to be kidding me. And this was all from this morning show. Ed Orcutt, who's the mayor of Brook Park, was on the morning show. Let's talk a little bit more about that when we return. Jeff, I also want to, you know, if we got any opportunity to go out to Berea to hear what's going on with the Browns, we're going to chime in on that too. So 216-474-0092. I want to kind of finish up this conversation and still hear what the rest of what the mayor of Brook Park had to say, Ed Orcutt. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, Brook Park's role in the thought of having their future kind of guided by the Browns with a major, major investment into that city. And if that happens, you know, that happens. And to me, Jeff, I know I was out for the last couple of days, and you know, we just really haven't had a chance to talk about it. But I was kind of like, the county put out their response to everything, and I was like, the county was super quiet on everything, and then all of a sudden they decided to hop in because the funding for this thing is going to have to come from the Haslams for what, you know, 50% of it, and then state money, and then county money. Is what they're kind of looking at. And I'm sure city money, I don't know where, you know.
And Andy, you never know. I mean, this could lead to private investors in this. It could lead to all kinds of things. This is just this is what's been pitched by the Haslams. The one thing I wonder, why did the county think they had to come out and say something? Was it because of the deadline that Mayor Bibb put in the
I think that's part of it. Some of the money's got to come from the county.
Well, I would think so, yes. And I would think that I would think that with some of this stuff, the county would want to be involved in some way, shape, or form. I know it's taxpayer dollars. We all know that. But we use taxpayer dollars on a lot of things. With infrastructure and everything else, who knows where this goes. But the one thing that surprised me about the county's thought and kind of all along is this. Why don't you sit down and talk about things instead of come out and making a statement and saying, nope, we're all behind us redoing the one on the lakefront.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
Why don't you just sit down and chat and discuss things rather than making a statement that now, okay, well, now it looks like we have two sides and they're butting heads.
Here's another one.
I mean, figure it out. You have owners of a football team who are willing to invest billions of dollars in our region.
In our county.
And so, let's not make blanket statements. Let's sit down and discuss.
And let's not. I also don't want to hear about the Art Modell law here, because if you read into what that's all about, it has like very little teeth. If the Browns want to leave Northeast Ohio, it has very little teeth. And that's why I'm like, why is the county jumping in on this over the weekend? In fact, you know, it's almost like, well, if the Browns are going to get grief from the county about this, which, by the way, I don't see how, if there's no new taxes on this thing, and the syntax continues to exist, and there's, you know, whatever relationship there is with the county on this, how does it change whether it's downtown or Brook Park? Like, how does that, like, I don't, it's still the county. And so now.
Well, but the county said, the guys from the county said they don't have the money to pull off what it is they want to pull off with the dome in Brook Park.
But you can't.
But they had the money, it seemed like, to help renovate the stadium.
Okay. To me, as I kind of look at this play out in the political world, like Mayor Bibb has done pretty much everything he can do within the constraints of trying to keep the city of Cleveland, you know, a little bit fiscally responsible here, understanding that they don't have that there's just no way for them to fix this thing and be able to match that kind of money you're looking at to try to put the dome out there. Right. So like I look at Mayor Bibb right now as trying to do everything he can to not be that mayor that lost the Browns to Brook Park, which, by the way, it's not, you know, we're not talking about Mike White. We're talking about a line that they're going to jump over that, by the way, used to be owned by the city of Cleveland, and we look across the street, it's the city of Cleveland. When those lands plain, that's city of Cleveland over there, right? But now I think the county could look horrible in this whole thing. Why are you laughing at me?
Well, I think you just said, when those lands plain.
Oh, when those planes land. I'm still a little, I may have a little COVID in me still.
You're fine. Ignore him. You're rolling.
No, wait, that's all right.
I was like, what?
I don't know. Sometimes they come out backwards.
It's like Germans? He's on a roll.
Yeah, don't worry about it. And then, you know, you get into this and I'm just like, the county looks silly on this whole thing. Because let's just face it, if they moved to, I mean.
I don't know about silly.
I don't understand the political posturing of the county. Well, see, does that make sense? Is that a fair, more fair statement?
Is it political posturing, or was it just coming, and I'm not, I don't know, just coming out and saying, yeah, we can't afford that. Well, I just think a discussion was more necessary at this point rather than like blanket statements and drawing lines in the sand. Which is what it felt like to me.
It didn't make any sense. And then you hear the mayor of Brook Park, who was on with us this morning, saying that he's talked to the governor, but what was that? It was like cut two. So I know I didn't tee you up for this. But
yeah, Ed Orcutt sounds like a guy who's like, we have somebody willing to invest 2.4 or whatever it is billion in our town where we had a Ford plant that closed and that land is sitting there empty.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Aaron, looking terrible, and you want to bring in something that could produce incredible revenue for the next 4 decades? Yeah, let's discuss.
Can we go?
That's just have a conversation. That's the way to do
right?
it.
He is Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. What'd you think of what Deshaun had to say? I do know that the explanation, though, I will say this quickly, the explanation he gave to let you know everything on his tattoo cost Ohio State a lot of trouble when they had that tattoo situation. I'm just kidding. He totally explained it.
It's allowed. No.
Okay.
It's allowed. He's a pro.
And on both sides, right?
Sure.
Yeah, they're all pros now.
Yeah, they're all pros now. Andy, Deshaun can say everything. He can answer every question. And the only thing that's going to really get answered is what does he look like when he gets on the field in a real game? I mean, unfortunately, we all know where the situation is. He's the key to the whole thing. And if the team is going to become what we hope it can become, you hope he's out there and is healthy and is able to play. And if he's not, they have issues. And not necessarily from competitive standpoint. You know, I do think Jameis Winston would do a fine job playing quarterback for this team. But, okay, then it becomes the question. You're paying a guy incredible money, and he's not helping you. So the whole thing, I hate to twiddle my thumbs on this, but it just continues to go back to, okay, let's see him on the field, and let's see if we can't find the guy that played very well for the Houston Texans for a number of years. I hate to say that, but it's true. I mean, I don't know where else we are with Deshaun.
Yeah, I don't. The other point of conversation within that press conference, I thought, were the questions about, are you cleared to practice? Like, I didn't even think twice about it. I just assumed that once he was out on the field, it cleared for contact. Could that be one of the reasons why they didn't want to put him out there for the first preseason game, or they wanted to wait till Seattle? Cleared for practice, cleared for contact. I would think that one, they're one and the same, wouldn't you? He made it sound like he was cleared for everything. He said the doctor said I was cleared for
everything.
If
you're cleared for contact, that to me is that screams opponent. If you're cleared for practice, to me that screams wearing a red jersey and you're okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just tend to think once you're cleared for contact, that also means practice too. I don't think that I don't think there's any coach out there that if they had a player come back to go, coach, I got a note, it's from the doctor, I'm cleared for contact. That's also for practice. Now, obviously, this is the NFL. This isn't kid stuff, but I just thought that was an interesting mix. We also go into this Minnesota game again, Jeff, wondering, does he need live reps there compared to the live reps that he got this week in practice? It does sound, though, like our defense was full go yesterday. In fact, you know, like maybe even over the top, according to Minnesota. And it sounds like they're getting full work in these joint practices with Minnesota.
Yes, that is true, but you're also still not hitting like you're, you know, like you would in a game.
I would think that they would lay off the quarterbacks because that would cause a major ruckus at one of these.
It already has in some of these, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's every year. Jeff, I think about, you know, these joint practices, and I know the coaches love them because they're controlled, and they can't control the other team when it comes to energy and play calling and things that they want to get done. Plus, we know there's a good relationship between Minnesota and Cleveland just based on the fact, you know, general managers and head coach and, you know, I don't know, maybe we've got a couple of disgruntled defense. I don't think they're disgruntled, so I don't even want to say it, but we've got some guys that were on Minnesota's roster before. They, you know, they understand what the Browns are all about. I kind of felt like there was some pretty good chemistry, especially when I looked at it in the beginning of the season. I was like, oh, Minnesota's coming in. They're going to join with them. And that's great. I think that was the team I was like, well, they're similar, and the philosophies of the organizations are still the same or similar. I don't know, but I do worry about these joint practices. And then, I didn't really I've always said, keep Deshaun Watson out. Don't play him. Don't play him. Don't play him. But the more you start thinking about what's been on his resume for the last 2 years, I hate to say it, I kind of would like to see him out there a little bit more. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing him on Saturday, but it sounds like that's not happening. And we're not going to see him against Seattle.
No, we are going to see him against Seattle.
No, I'm saying we're not going to see him until Seattle. That's
right.
What you said, yeah.
Although he sounded surprised about that, didn't he?
That he was going to be. Yeah, it was kind of weird.
He said this first I've heard of it.
Maybe he's just being smart with his answer.
Either that or he's been talking to folks from the county, not the coaching staff.
Or the state. Oh, man. Oh, I don't know. I look at this whole thing and I'm just kind of like, okay, I get it. I understand it. Chris Ostenheimer is going to join us at noon. We're going to talk a little bit about the Guardians and what they're up to. I do want to take one phone call here before we take a quick timeout. I want to talk to Demos and Shaker because he wants to hop in on what we were talking about before with the stadium. What do you got, Demos?
Hey, I was talking to Chantel Brown last week.
Okay.
And I asked her. I said, you know, what's your part in this? And she said, you know, it's actually very little. She said, but, you know, she's in contact with some of the local people. But she did say that it was, you know, mostly on Bibb at this point, not Ronayne. And that her body language kind of implied like, and she didn't kind of know, you know, what he had done or prepared or anything like that. So it makes me a little nervous because I'm a lakefront guy. But I will say this, though, that when it comes down to it, it's a money game for the Haslams. I don't think the Haslams particularly like Brook Park more than anything. But by being able to control all the parking and the concessions around that area, I do think that Cleveland has to look at how much every bar, every parking area downtown would be losing that has to come up to equal something for the Haslams to be indifferent between one place and the other. I don't think
the city didn't lay that out in their proposal.
I understand. Yeah. And that's what I think what Chantel was kind of hinting at,
yeah,
is that they're not far enough along yet. And so, you know,
the bigger problem here is why did this have to wait until the last second? Because right now,
you're right.
Yeah. I mean, that this is the problem with all of our politicians, and I don't care who you vote for at any. Why did this have to wait until the last minute? Because we all know that in 2028, you know, the lease is up. They've all known this.
It.
Yeah. It's just, to me, that's the hard part.
They can't even get that footbridge back that's been shut down for what, 10, 15 years now.
Yep, you're right.
That thing, you know, I mean, how hard would that have been to get some, you know, state money over the railroads to fix that thing up? And it's been sitting there with that dopey goalpost there for, you know, with a fence around it. It's ridiculous.
Demos, so, you run it for office because I'll vote for you. How's that sound?
No, but
You're in. Okay.
I'm from Warren. There's too much taint from that already. So
all right. Anyway. Thank you, Demos. Appreciate you. All right. Demos checking in from Shaker. All right. You know, we talked a lot about the Browns. It's the best. Are we going to get to hear from Deshaun Watson? When we come back, I want to jump back into the Guardians. We're going to talk to super friend of the show, Chris Ostenheimer from the Chronicle Telegram, and we will talk to him when we return. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.